This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you here have heard of the legend about the Fountain of Youth? Raise your hand if you have. Oh, good few of you. Now, the Fountain of Youth would supposedly give eternal life to any people who bathed in it or drank of its waters. In fact, some say that during the year 1513, a man by the name of Ponce de Leon was trying to find the Fountain of Youth in the Florida area. But he didn't find it. Why not? Because the Fountain of Youth does not exist. You see, even modern medicine cannot stop the aging process. Now, the reason that aging and eventual death come to us is that they're actually only the symptoms of our real problem. Simply put, we do not die because we're mortal. We die because we are sinners. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then later in Romans chapter 6, he says, "The wages of sin is death." Why is this important to understand? Well, when God created Adam and Eve, he intended that they and all humans descended from them should live forever in his love. So, in the beginning, God did not create us to be mortal. Death is not part of God's plan. It's a symptom, a result of our rebellion against him. God created Adam and Eve to live forever. But it didn't work out that way. As you know, Adam and Eve rejected God so that they could be their own gods and decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. They divorced themselves from God, their life giver. And as a result, they died that very day. Of course, their bodies did not die that day. Their physical death would not come for hundreds of years later. But they did suffer spiritual death that very day, which is the more serious of the two. They no longer trusted in God. They no longer loved him. They had become his enemies. And that's what it means to be a sinner. You see, when we were conceived, we inherited Adam's spiritual death, and that is why we age and eventually die. Spiritual death leads to physical death. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned." There you have it. We are conceived as people who are spiritually dead, and so we must face physical death as well. I'm afraid there's no fountain of youth that we can produce that can take away the curse of physical death. In fact, the reason that we can't do anything about physical death is that we also can't do anything about spiritual death. We don't have the power to change the fact that we don't trust God or love him. We can't change the fact that all our many sins deserve God's eternal wrath. But the good news is that God has changed our situation. God has done something to rescue us from spiritual and physical death. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Scripture teaches that God sent his only Son into human flesh to love and trust God for us, and then also to offer his own body on the cross in our place of damnation. And as you know, 3 days after his sacrifice for our sins, Jesus rose from the grave and thereby conquered death for us as well. My friends, Jesus will rescue us from physical death on the final day when he raises our bodies from the grave. Jesus talked about this also in John 6 when he said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Did you hear those careful selections of words that John used? He said that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life, and he will be raised up on the last day. In other words, eternal life is not something that we will get in the future. Eternal life is something that we have right now through faith in Jesus. Jesus is saying that God gives us eternal life before he raises our bodies on the last day. So then what does it mean to have eternal life? To have eternal life means that you are united with God once again through repentance and faith in Jesus. To have eternal life means that you trust God and long to live according to his will. But how is it possible for us spiritually dead people to believe in Jesus? How do we spiritually dead people receive eternal life? Well, I'm going to talk about three ways that God brings the life of Jesus to us here and now. One way that God gives us new life is through his own fountain of youth. And of course, I'm talking about holy baptism. If you look at that blue insert in your bulletin, you will see that in our second service, we're celebrating the baptism of one of our members' children. We're looking forward to that. But what does Jesus say about baptism? In the last chapter of Matthew, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In John chapter 3, Jesus also says there, "You must be born again of water and the Spirit." In other words, baptism is one of the ways that God gives us the life of Jesus. In baptism, the Holy Spirit gives us new hearts that turn from sin and trust in Jesus for eternal life with God. However, something I always stress to people when I have the chance is that this new life that God gives us in baptism, it can exist and grow strong only if we remain in God's Word. Nothing saddens me more when parents bring their children for baptism and then you never see the children again at church. And if the parents are never bringing them to church, you wonder if they're hearing the Word of God at home either. The Bible teaches that God does give us new life in baptism, but if that new life is not nurtured and sustained and strengthened by God's Word, it will grow weak and eventually die. Therefore, a second way that God gives us eternal life is through his Word. Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth." In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another." Simply put, as we teach and admonish one another with Holy Scripture, God uses his word to keep us spiritually alive and to help us grow in our relationship with him. For example, God uses his word to convict us of sin so that we will hunger for God's mercy. He also uses his word to give us faith in Jesus so that we will constantly long for new life with God. He also uses his word to teach us about good and evil so that we may live according to his will. So God brings us Jesus and his life through baptism, through his word. But finally, a third and wonderful way that God gives us eternal life is in the Lord's Supper, which some of the early Christians referred to as the meal of immortality. In our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul quotes these words of Jesus. "This is my body. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Those words of Jesus were spoken by him when he instituted this life-giving meal on the night before his death for us. Now, in our gospel reading from John chapter 6, Jesus tells his disciples about this gift that they would later get to receive. Let me repeat Jesus' words again. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now Jesus also said, "Unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now those words of Jesus have been misunderstood. What does he mean when he says, "Unless you eat of this, you have no life"? Well, let me tell you what he doesn't mean. He doesn't mean that a believer, a baptized Christian who feeds on God's Word, he does not mean that a believer who dies before receiving the Lord's Supper is damned to hell. That's not what he means at all. You have to remember, Jesus is talking to unbelievers who despise what he's saying. So what Jesus means is that those who are not believers will have no desire to receive the Lord's Supper. Simply put, if you do not have spiritual life, then you will have no desire for Jesus, nor will you care about receiving the gifts that he longs to give you. On the other hand, if God has given you spiritual life, then you will long to hear Jesus' words, and you will look forward to receiving his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Scripture teaches that the Lord's Supper is for baptized Christians who have been taught God's Word so they can examine themselves before they receive the Lord's Supper. In our bulletin, there is a brief summary of how Christians should examine themselves before they come to the Lord's Supper. I'd like you to take out your worship insert, the folded insert, and look at the front of it. I want to just briefly go through this little examination process. Those 4 points. First, I acknowledge the sin God's Word exposes in my life and repent of it. So the Lord's Supper is not for people who think they're okay or think they can cover their sins by their good works. The Lord's Supper is for people who realize they deserve hell and acknowledge that their sin is serious. Secondly, I trust in the Lord Jesus as my Savior from sin and the death and damnation I deserve. So not only do you as a Christian agree with God about your sin, but you also agree with what His Word says about your Savior, and you trust in Jesus as your Redeemer from sin, death, and damnation. Third, I believe that Christ gives me His body and blood in His Supper as His Word teaches me. As Christians, we believe the word of Jesus. Therefore, we also believe what he says about the Lord's Supper. We believe that in a way we cannot comprehend, he gives us his very body and blood to assure us that we're forgiven and that he actually dwells within us physically. Finally, I am willing to believe and live according to Holy Scripture, which is God's written word. In other words, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we don't forget about it when we leave the church and do our own thing the rest of the week. Instead, we leave the Lord's Supper realizing that the body and blood of Christ goes with us. And therefore, we live each day trusting in God and asking him to help us conform our lives to his will. According to the Bible, those who examine themselves with God's Word and believe what he says, these are people who are well prepared to receive the Lord's body and blood. However, the Apostle Paul also warns us that those who take the Lord's Supper in a spirit of unbelief, they will bring judgment upon themselves. Simply put, if we will not humble ourselves, if we will not confess our sins, if we will not trust in Christ, and we still come to the Lord's Supper, then God will do all He can to humble us so that we will repent and take the Lord's Supper seriously. As Paul writes, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Did you hear that? God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's why God does all He can to convict us of sin and bring us to faith in Jesus. However, those who resist the Holy Spirit, those who refuse to believe God's word, sadly, they will be condemned with the rest of the unbelieving world on the final day. And that's why Paul says what he does in our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons too. He was talking to Christians who were coming to church, receiving the Lord's Supper, and then going out and hanging out with their pagan friends and living just as sinfully as they did before they were Christians. What Paul is saying is that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot take the Lord's Supper and then ignore God's word and live as you please the rest of the week. Instead, those who believe will be moved by the Spirit to pray these words of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Those words were spoken by the Apostle Peter. Let me talk about him for just a moment. The Apostle Peter was a sinner, just like you and me. Later on, after he spoke those words, he would eventually deny Jesus three times. And guess what? Years after that, Peter would compromise with false teachers and he had to be publicly rebuked by the Apostle Paul. But in spite of Peter's battle with sin, he remained a believer. You see, God had given Peter spiritual life. And the proof that he had spiritual life is that whenever Peter was confronted with his sin by the Word of God, he would repent and seek salvation from Jesus. In the same way, when we battle with sin every day of our lives, God will use His Word to convict our hearts so that we repent and trust in Jesus. My friends, God has given you spiritual life. God has given you Jesus. Today, at the second service, we will witness God's fountain of youth in action. Today, we have heard the words of Jesus by which our spiritual lives are strengthened and maintained. And today, we also get to receive the meal of immortality. As Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My friends, if you come to the Lord's Supper because you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus for mercy, then you can be sure that you already have eternal life. On top of that, your Lord, whose body is risen and who gives you His body and blood today to eat and to drink, He is giving you this sign today that you might know that He is with you and that your body also will be raised up on the last day. Finally, after we receive this meal of immortality, the Holy Spirit will move us each day to pray in our hearts these words of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.